You're listening to the Very Serious Crafts podcast.
We're very serious crafters,
and we craft very serious crafts.
Very serious.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Very Serious Crafts podcast. I'm Heidi from Hands Occupied.
I'm Molly from Wild Olive.
And I'm Haley from Red Handled Scissors. Today, we'll be talking about knitting on a deadline, visible mending, and the horror that is clothes moths in your fiber stash, and more.
Before we get started, did you know you can subscribe to the Very Serious Crafts podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher?
Very fancy.
Stitcher sounds like the perfect option for those of us who do needle crafts.
Indeed.
Well, we're being very serious here, Molly. And one last thing, you can visit veryseriouscrafts.com for all of your listening options.
So, okay, lady friends, what's new?
The latch hook project I finished yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah, it was like record time.
That's impressive. That was large.
Yeah, I think it's thanks to having a really bad ear infection since, it turns out I had it when we recorded episode 2. And so when I've been totally out of it on amoxicillin and ibuprofen, I've just been hooking away.
And this is the one that fit across the back of your couch, right?
Yeah, it's like 5 feet long, maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm a monster.
Nice. And are there plans for where this will end up going? Like, will it hang over the couch? Not on the couch, but...
TBD. I'm kind of digging it on the couch, but I'll have to keep you guys posted in a future episode once I actually make a decision on that.
Fair enough.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah. But what have you been up to, Molly?
I've just been kind of running around the house like a crazy person, trying to get things done.
And failing to do so?
basically failing to do so. Like, getting things done in small bits and pieces, but that's not good. And it's been combined with a little bit of, like, crafting ADD, where it's like, should I work on this or this? Or maybe I also have this other thing. And I'm not settling in on a single project, and it's frustrating to me when I don't have a good result. Then it's my own fault, but oh well.
Story of my life.
Yeah, it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And Haley, how have you been?
Well, I have no idea. This week has just been packed with a bunch of new and exciting things that I can't actually talk about yet. I've been doing a lot, but I have very little to show for it. My cat did a very cute thing this morning. Well, it's either cute or gross, I guess. You can tell me. I woke up this morning and I was, like, hugging my cat in the time-honored tradition of cat ladies. And he had his little head resting in my hand, and it was so cute. And then I realized that he had been sleeping with his mouth open and had drooled all over my hand. I don't even know how long it was happening.
Nope.
And I was so torn between and ugh. And I can't decide. My early morning brain just couldn't handle it and decided to just not even think about it anymore.
Well, as the dog person in this trio, I guess I'm not as grossed out by Jewel because it's just like a necessary part of life for me with two dogs.
And a common ingredient of dog.
Yeah, common ingredient, common floor splotch source for me.
Ew.
Sorry.
That's funny.
Yeah, I guess I don't think that I've ever seen my cat drool, so I didn't even know that was a thing that she would potentially do. Now I'm going to watch out.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's like people, if they sleep with their mouths slightly open, they drool.
And oh, yeah.
I mean, the cat was definitely sleeping. I don't know if it was like the position in my hand or what was going on, but there was drool happening for sure. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
And now this has become the Very Serious Drool Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes, SoundCloud, etc.
And on that note, maybe we should talk about some crafts.
So, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe, Molly, do you want to tell us about mending things?
I would love to do that. I've always loved visible mending because it combines keeping something, making it work longer for you, and something beautiful. And so I recently, I've had this sweater for a while and there was a stain on one side of it and I've just kind of ignored it and worn it anyway, hoping no one notices. But then I noticed a hole very close to the spot. So that was the perfect opportunity to decide to do some visible mending there. So I've started working on that. I'm very excited about it coming together. But in the midst of planning that out, I saw this really amazing feed on, or not feed, a like a Twitter, what is that called? Yeah, like a conversation,
thread?
A thread.
Thread.
There
thread.
It is.
A Twitter thread.
How do I forget?
How could you
thread?
Forget that word?
I Come told on, guys. You, we're being
the,
serious.
The mind is all kinds of places right now.
It's okay.
So Twitter thread.
Yes. And go on.
Now I go into this very serious thing about how back in the pre-13th century, when books were made out of primarily parchment, the parchment would mm-hmm. get holes in it for a variety of reasons. And so rather than scrap the parchment because it was far too valuable, they would visibly mend the pages. Well, sometimes they would just mend them by sewing the pages back together again. But other times they would mend it with beautiful, colorful stitching. And so the person that shared it, and I'll put that a link to the thread in the show notes. They showed all these photos of these old documents and books where there's a hole that has now been filled in with gorgeous stitching. Sometimes it creates a seam. Sometimes it's really mostly decorative. Other times it's mostly functional or something in between. But on occasion they would do they would accent the hole or the space just with some extra drawing around it. So it became a decorative element on the page, like a hole in the page peeks through to something on the next page. And then other times
so cool.
they would just decorate it. Yeah, they would decorate it with thread or all these things. And I thought, well, I mean, it makes sense that they would be needing to preserve these things. We tend to be very mm-hmm. disposable now. Not us personally, but, you know. they would need to hold on to these things longer. And who would have thought that, you know, monks or other people working with these documents would decide to get so creative with it. But I loved seeing it. It really, really excited me. And so now I want to find more of these things and dig into it. But right there in the thread, it has tons of pictures of those things. It's very cool.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
Yeah. It makes me think of like a former librarian here. It makes me think of all those children's books that have like die cuts in the pages as part of the like experience of like, let's combine different parts of a dinosaur and learn about naming conventions for dinosaurs or whatever other example. But it's way cooler.
Yeah, it's.
Oh, yeah, that is really cool.
It is kind of like that. And one of the examples, it's actually a hole that shows through to, I think it's like a dragon or something on the other page. It feels like how we would make a children's
awesome.
Book. Yeah.
That is so cool. This makes me want to make like an underground zine for like the children of anarchist crafters or something.
Yes,
I feel like it would do
yes.
really well in that space and be really, really cool.
Oh man. That is just delightful.
Yeah, that owns.
That's
yeah,
fun.
And very, very unexpected for the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I've seen, like, drawings that exist. My husband got me a really fancy edition of all the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy books for, I think it was for Christmas. And it came with, he special ordered it from this publisher in England, and it came with some, like, little extras. And one of them was a date book, and all the pictures in the date book were drawings that random monks had made throughout the centuries, just like doodling in the margins of books that they were either studying or copying. And so there's like these delightful little snails wearing hats and stuff like that.
Oh,
from
cute.
Like from about the same time period, I think, that you're talking about. Some were even earlier, some were ridiculously early. And unfortunately, in getting rid of extraneous stuff in my life, that was recycled, but it was really cool.
Yeah, that sounds so awesome.
I love it.
But the actual sewing, I don't think I'd heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Embroidering monks. Go figure.
And like the other thing that surprises me is the use of color. Like that to me just seems like anachronistic.
Yeah. There's a couple of them that are neutral. Like it matches the page. You still notice the stitching, but most of the ones in the samples that he showed were, you know, red, purple. It was beautiful.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's neat. It makes me want to do that.
Yeah, I know. I do think I'm going to have to try it, although regular paper is not going to take it as well, and I don't have any parchment on hand. True parchment.
Right.
Yeah, for a variety of reasons.
I can name several.
Yeah, yeah. But speaking of holes and things that need mending.
Oh, no. No. You're tossing this over to me, aren't you?
I am tossing this over to you because Heidi and I have been waiting for a long time to hear about a very special moth story that we know that you've been hesitant to share, but it's time, right? Yes?
Oh, it is time. Moth season, it is upon us. Okay. So sit back, friends. I'm going to tell you a story that's going to make anyone with fiber or fabric stashes viscerally uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
And I'm kind of sorry, but kind of not. But I'm going to give you a spoiler alert. In this nightmarish tale, I win. I win.
Good.
Okay.
It turns out okay. All right.
I think I need a drink for this story.
All right. So come back with me to the summer of 2014. I think it was hot and humid. I assume it was hot and humid because I live in New York City and it is hot and humid. So I was working at the time on a book proposal for a crochet book that didn't end up getting published, but I had a lot of yarn and a lot of yarn in like varieties that I didn't usually use. And it was all piled in this wooden crate next to my couch. And this was separate from my normal, like, fabric and fiber stash because I was using these different combinations of colors and fibers in the designs that I was creating for this book. And I'm not sure exactly how this all started. By the way, we refer to this time period within my house as either the mothing or, because we don't swear on this podcast, as I need to remember, moth H-E double hockey sticks. That's right. Because we are a family-friendly show.
That's right.
Anyway, so I'll refer to it as the mothing for our uses. So I'm not sure if I brought in a contaminated skein or if it was just some freak accident of windows being open, or maybe something came back from the cleaners. I'm not really sure exactly how it happened. But right at the tail end of all of this work that I was doing for this crochet book proposal, I discovered that I had the mother of all moth infestations. And we're talking about clothes moths, the kind that eat your silky underthings, the kind that eat your favorite sweater, or the random bits of fabric in your stash that happen to have animal fibers in them. Also, all your yarn. Now, I also learned that clothes moths wouldn't just stop there if you happen to have pets. Because if you happen to have pets and get any, like, I have cats. If you get any cat hair on your new yardage of fabric, even if it's cotton, before you put it away, guess what likes to eat cat fur? Clothes moths. So I initially found the problem because I saw a moth take flight from that box of yarn that I had sitting next to the couch. And I had many colorful things to say about this particular thing. There were several consarnets, perhaps.
Hey, quick interruption, Haley. Did you know that moth is a four-letter word?
It is a four-letter word. That is so very true. And I can think of so many others to bring in to that group. So, I'm not going to, even though I really, really, really want to. There are several phrases that come to mind. Okay, anyway. So, I saw it take off. I decided to investigate further. I really wish that I hadn't investigated further, because I may have been able to stay in denial for a bit longer. But, to make a very long story short, they were everywhere. They were under my rug, in my couch, in the couch cushions, along the edge of my bed frame, in every box in my studio, under my computer. They were in closed file boxes. They were everywhere.
Like, what the audience can't see right now is mine and Molly's just mouths hanging open right now in genuine horror. This is awful. I'm gonna have a nightmare.
I think because I don't work with as much yarn, and as you know, I don't have as many wool things, although I have a decent amount of wool felt. I don't think of that as being something that would likely happen. But as soon as you said animal fibers on your cotton fabric, my mind just started going, oh no. It just didn't
every
even
dresser going, drawer what my wardrobe
yeah
oh
every place
oh that's so awful. And
I would just like to take a small aside here to explain to people who don't know me or haven't seen like any of my posts on Instagram or like my studio tour on my website. I am a person so neat and organized and clean that it makes my friends uncomfortable. I am the kind of person who might vacuum every day if the sun happens to come in at a specific angle and I see one bit of like an errant granule of cat litter on the floor. I clean a lot. The problem is, moths don't care that you are incredibly clean and organized. Because what moths do is they hide in the areas that are not obvious. The areas that you wouldn't, like, unless you're moving your couch and taking the cushions off and vacuuming them literally every time you clean, you wouldn't know there was a problem until it's out of control. And so, like, when this happened, I didn't talk about it anywhere for a long time because I was so embarrassed. I thought people were going to think that I was filthy. I thought people were going to think that I just lived in this disaster area when really I clean many times a week. And it was incredibly embarrassing. And then once I realized that I had, like, not just the first signs of moths, but a full-blown infestation, I looked all over the internet and simply couldn't find very much information on how to actually deal with the problem when you aren't just, you know, seeing the first few things and then responding in a really over-the-top manner, but when there really is when they're truly everywhere. And because there wasn't a lot of visible information to find out what you really do when that happens, I mean, the most I could find was ads for, like, pest control. And the success rates, apparently, of, like, dealing with clothes moths by way of pest control, it simply isn't very high because what is required to get rid of them is consistency, not, like, one-fell-swoop solutions. And so because I couldn't find anything about it, I felt really ashamed. Like, it was, I mean, I felt alone, like nobody else was dealing with this. And then finally, I put on my big girl pants and realized that probably everybody else was too embarrassed to talk about it. And, like, there wasn't even stuff like that in Ravelry. And I really thought that would be the place to find, like, someone with a giant stash has dealt with this.
They would have had to.
And not just thrown it all away.
Especially with how long people stash yarn for. Like, come on, there's got to be a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I know someone who had, maybe not to the scale that you did, but I know someone who lost a ton of her stash because of a moth infestation. So, and I don't remember what she did about it, but it clearly happens.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And so finally, I went through the process of dealing with, and when you're a professional crafter, this is really important. I couldn't chance this being an ongoing problem.
Right.
Like, this is my livelihood, like, also my wardrobe, but my livelihood. And so I went through my entire apartment and I laid hands on every single item I owned and either cleaned it or removed it. And I actually wrote the mother of all moth-related blog posts on this particular subject, going through every single step of the process, how I cleaned every different kind of item in my apartment and what worked. It took, now I can't remember because I did not fully reread my blog post. and it was 2014. But I think it took a total of a couple of weeks of, like, quarantined areas and doing nothing but cleaning from the moment I woke up to the moment I went to sleep every night to finally get out in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I live in a pre-war Brooklyn apartment, which means nothing's sealed. The floors aren't sealed. There are spaces. I have pocket doors with open walls behind them. There are areas in my apartment I will never be able to get to. And so sometimes a moth flutters out of them. I have evolved from having a panic attack every time that happens to snatching it out of the air and then checking, like, I have hormone traps in the go-to places to alert me to an issue. Mm-hmm. And the hormone traps that I also linked to in the post that I ended up using have really been great. Like, they either attract a moth or alert me to the fact that there is one. And I have not found them anywhere except near the areas that I truly cannot get to since the initial cleaning. But it was a nightmare situation. I lost a third of my wardrobe. And I'm, like, for people who don't know me, I'm vegan. I don't have huge quantities of animal fiber. I also don't, like, I like a good thrift store item, but I'm the kind of person who takes that to the cleaner immediately. So I didn't have a lot of things that you would think would lend themselves to that. But I lost a third of my wardrobe, at least a third, if not more, of my fiber stash, and at least a third, if not more, of my fabric stash, the vast majority of that being quilting cotton.
My goodness.
Yes. And so, because moth season is upon us, I will definitely link to my extremely thorough post. I won't bore you by going through the great graphic details of the cleaning, except for I did make the mistake that you should not make, which is there was an oven incident. Turns out sizing and fabric, super flammable. Don't do that.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Even on low temperatures.
Good okay. to know.
Yeah, because that heat, like, putting things in closed cars in the summer is a really great way to get rid of moths and things. Or if you buy a bunch of yarn that came from someplace questionable and want to make sure that it's going to be fine. Like, extreme heat or extreme cold works really well. Extreme heat works even better than extreme, or it works even faster than extreme cold. So putting things in a closed car on a hot summer day, great idea. Putting things in a similarly heated oven, not the best idea, as it turns out, when they're sizing in fabric. I was making a skirt for my best friend, which was one of those projects that takes years longer than it should, like a thing that you should be able to finish in an afternoon, but then 3 years later is still in your to-do or to-finish pile.
Uh-huh.
Well, I had been making my best friend a skirt for about that long. Guess what thing lit on fire? Actually, I got really lucky. It was just the extra fabric from the skirt. But when I saw what was smoking, the phrases that came forth.
Moths, moths, oh. Moths, moths.
Moths, moths. Son of a moth. yes. Wait, mother mother? No, I hope not, because that just begets more moths.
That is true.
No.
Yeah.
Or is it more like mother?
Ah, yes. There you go. I see what you did there. Anyway, so that is my tale of woe, and I want to tell you all that, like, if you're a crafter and you've got stuff that you don't want to lose, now is a really great time to just check. Just look at your stuff and see if there are signs of anything having gone awry. And if there is, deal with it before it's not even a question.
Right.
Like, if you think that, I don't know, maybe something, or maybe that's dirt or dust, maybe it's not. And just assume that maybe it isn't. And do something about it. Don't wait. I mean, granted, I didn't even know that it was happening. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how quickly it happened. But I assume everything must have come together because I was so focused for several weeks straight on just using this yarn in this one area of my apartment. And so I wasn't getting into my stash, my fabric or fiber stash. And so I don't know that I could have noticed before it became a problem. But Oh, I have nightmares about it still. Like, it was the most, mortifyingly embarrassing and also stressful thing that has happened, like, in my house. I don't even understand.
Well, now I will have nightmares about it. So,
yeah. I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
No, I'm glad to know about this as someone whose entire gig is knit and crochet and yarn.
Yeah.
So if
it's
if we hear rustling sounds in the background while we're recording this, it's just you checking for moths.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
I thought you were about to be really mean, Molly, and be like, it's moths in your stash. They're everywhere.
Well, there's one right behind you now.
Heidi, I can maybe make your life a little better.
Please.
Included in that post that I wrote, mm-hmm. I also said how to store everything so it never happens again.
Yeah. Well, good.
And it's possible. Mm-hmm. But, oh, gosh. It was a nightmare. And now I have shared this very embarrassing thing with all of you.
I don't think it's anything to be embarrassed about, personally.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I mean, it may be, well, I was going to say maybe it's a Midwestern thing, but like I live in New York City, but I grew up in Michigan. And you guys are both obviously in the Chicago area. So you are also Midwestern. But I feel like that is, I hear Heidi's dog.
Sorry, guys.
Okay. So enough about me and my moth problems that hopefully will stay gone forever and I will never have to deal with them again. Please, 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 universe, let that happen. Heidi, let's talk about fiber, but not in the context of moths.
Yeah, let's not talk about moths that I'm going to now have to actually clean up my really disorganized studio space over. But that's okay.
I am so sorry.
So... where I sit here to record this podcast is in my studio, and all around me is my own stash. So this moth story is something that I'm definitely going to keep in mind in the days and weeks to come I get more organized. but also in the days and weeks to come, I have a few things going on in my personal life. So in less than a month, my little brother and only sibling is getting married. And my sister-in-law, she is adopting her first child. And she decided to schedule the shower on the same day as my brother's wedding reception.
Uh-oh.
So I was like, hey, girl, sister-in-law, I've had to save the date for a minute. I'll send you a gift. But the thing is, like, as a professional crafter, as I'm sure you two can relate, Haley and Molly. There's all this pressure when you do make things for a living to make something really special, especially if it's for somebody who's about to be your close relative. And in my case, my first niece ever. And I've had...
I don't make anything for anyone. True story.
Well, when you make it, you light it on fire, it turns out.
Oh, yeah, right?
Sorry, that was
me. Haley's crafting is lit.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Anyway, ladies, this is a serious podcast.
Oh, no. That was really great, Molly. Thank you for that.
So your baby blanket, Heidi.
This baby blanket. Hopefully
it's a
this
good
baby
thing
blanket...
It's a good thing we're really serious about things here.
Yeah, for sure.
Very serious.
Yeah, hopefully this baby blanket won't be lit because then I'll be really screwed because the point I'm getting to here about this baby blanket is that I've had these really grand plans for what I want to make for my first ever niece or nephew. And I was like, oh, I'm going to make this beautiful lace thing that's really epic and I will never release it as a pattern because I want it to be special just for this human that I'm going to love so much. And then the shower gets moved up to the same day as my brother's wedding. And I also have to do stuff for that because only sibling. So it's like, well, cool. So everybody, is doing something on that same day in May next month. And so then I messaged you guys, Haley and Molly, on Instagram, and I was like, is it a jerk move to opt to choose to finish something from my work in progress pile that's been in there for years? Is it a jerk move to do that rather than make this beautiful epic thing I'd had envisioned in my brain? Or is the jerk move not giving them something handmade or giving it a year later? And since the listeners were not in that conversations, what was your guys' advice for me there? Because I think that's valuable for other people to hear.
Yeah, my thought was, it's still this beautiful handmade object that you are giving, and you shouldn't feel like there's any problem with it, even though you had worked on something maybe from a while ago. And I wrestle with that because I've had times where I go, okay, I made this project for a blog post or for a book or whatever, and am I allowed to give that to someone now, or should I save it and just keep it here sitting and doing nothing? So I kind of was looking at that going, you know, but I think it's better to give the thing. You still spent all that time on it. It didn't matter what the original intent was. That's where I've landed on it. Haley?
And I agreed with Molly completely. I will regularly, like, I don't usually make things for people because I tend to make complicated and involved, I tend to design complicated and involved projects, so I don't necessarily have lots of time to do things beyond my regular work. And I just, that expectation stresses me out, so I've dispensed with it. But it also, I don't always know that someone's going to fall in love with a thing that I'm making until they see it and love it, and then I almost certainly will give it to them.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like that intent, like Molly was saying, I don't feel like that in that the original intent changes how heartfelt the gift is. And I also believe that I made the point in this Instagram conversation that it actually doesn't really matter how fancy the blanket is that you're giving as a functional item to an actual baby, because the kid is going to pee on the blanket for the foreseeable future. Like, that is the reality. Like, there's going to be biological matter on that blanket.
Hopefully and not a moth.
Hopefully not a moth. But if you make this fancy lacy thing when you've got a baby, like before a kid could possibly care for it, I mean, you're probably just going to stress out the parents too, because they won't want to use it because they won't know how to care for this beautiful thing that you've made.
Exactly.
But if you give them something that's actually clearly made to be used and to last, I feel like that's, like, even if it's a thing that you have already made or is already in progress, that is a really thoughtful gift anyway.
Yeah. And I think, and thank you guys both for being such good crafter friends and talking me down off of my, like, own, I don't know, maybe, is hubris ledge an appropriate word for this problem that I was having? Maybe. Icarus ledge? Maybe that's better. Icarus ledge.
I like the Icarus ledge.
And the thing is, this blanket, it's, as it stands right now, now that I've started working on it again, it's like 85% done. So it'll be done in a few more weeks in time for the shower. Like, I won't be there, but this thing I made will. And it may, you know, it's blue and green and white. It's lily sugar and cream yarn, the classic cotton yarn that's been used for generations. But you guys are right. Like, it will be done first and foremost. And, like, it will actually be able to be opened in front of all the people at the shower. And it will be able to be in the nursery when the baby comes. And it's entrelac. So that's not, like, the simplest thing in the whole world. That's a lot of short rows. if anyone's ever knit enchiloque before. And so I'm feeling better about it. I think this my anxiety about all of this also came about when I was before I was very sick, and I had like another 2 weeks on my hands. But I need to be realistic, and I think the whole point of me wanting to talk about knitting on a deadline and using this baby blanket example was just like, it's not the end of the world. This kid's still going to get a handmade blanket, and I don't know how many other handmade items this kid was going to get anyway. So I have to feel good about that.
And besides, that yarn that you mentioned is my favorite for, like, I make washcloths with it. Like, it's my favorite for things that are actually meant to be used and washed.
Yeah.
It holds up. Like, I mean, it's not a fancy yarn, but it is a great yarn, and it stays looking nice for so long.
Yeah. And the nice thing, too, is that the yarn has a longer variegation, whatever the right word is there. And so there's some really cool color pooling because it's enchiloque. So there's sections where the white and the blue and the green are, like, angling against each other in a really fun way. So
cool.
Yeah. I can just stop overanalyzing now, which is my chronic problem in everything I make. Cha la la, I'm a designer. That's what happens.
And that's in the job description.
Yeah, none of us would ever overthink these things. That's just not in our nature, right?
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about. I've never overthought a thing in my life.
Yeah. But when this guy's done, I'll have to post on Instagram and link it up in the show notes as soon as I can share it with anybody other than my own blood relations.
Well, fair enough.
Yeah. We look forward to seeing more of that. I mean, I've seen sort of a sneak peek of it, but I want to see more. So be good.
Yay. Thanks, friends. Yeah. Thanks for being good crafter friends.
Absolutely.
Yay. Heidi's dogs are super excited, guys. I don't know if you can hear it, but they are really, really wanting to be podcasters.
Yeah.
As I've been listening to them, I've been sitting here like thinking in the back of my head, will the dogs stay in the podcast or will I edit them out? And now I'm thinking, no, the dogs are part of the podcast. It's just maybe how it is.
Oh, I think the dogs are part of the podcast for sure.
Speaking of getting things done on time, like, I don't know what their deal is. Apologies to everyone, but they're being real jerks right now. And I promise you they don't normally bark this much.
They're having a day.
Apparently.
That's all right. My cat yowled all morning for no apparent reason. Well, every time I walked in a room.
Maybe someone's moving into my building and I just didn't know today was the day.
Oh, that might be it.
Well,
my cat has yowled himself out. He's now sleeping behind my computer, so.
Well, hopefully he's not drooling on anything.
Let's not even talk about it. Ugh. I've only talked about gross things today. Guys, I'm not this gross in real life.
No, Haley's the most organized person I know.
Yeah, like to the point where I'm super self-conscious about like my own organizing of just our messages back and forth between each other. But that's okay. It makes everything work well. And that's what we appreciate about you. Well, there are many things we appreciate about you.
Yeah, I wouldn't be self-conscious about it. It's fine. All right. Well, Heidi's going to check on the dogs. How do you want to wrap it up?
We're wrapping it up with Heidi yelling at the dogs. It's all good.
I've got a wrapping it up. And, well, Heidi seems to have gotten up and run out of the room, so I guess that's it, guys. This has been episode 3 of A Very Serious... The Very Serious Crafts Podcast. See, I don't even know the name.
That's because you're just so serious about it that it has just flown out of your head.
I'm very serious.
Hey, Woodrow. Hey, Woodrow, do you want to say goodbye since you've been talking the whole time? Oh, you're quiet now. Well done.
And that's that, guys.
Perfect. Episode 3. All right. Well, keep listening for our next episode, which hopefully will involve less spit and moths and conveniently not talking dogs, I think.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, yeah, maybe.
All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Very Serious Crafts podcast. If you loved this episode, please share it with a friend who's as serious about crafts as we are. Thanks!